You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
Well, let me ask a question and just answer it honestly. And you may not even have been here last week, but I am attempting. Kind of one of the most important little homework assignments that I've given you is to take this Gospelite spiritual gifts test. So just out of curiosity, how many of you between last Sunday and this Sunday, you took time even if it's a little sheepishly up, if you would raise your hand and say, I did take that test between last week and this week. Good. Raise it up. Keep it up. Okay, good. Good number. Okay. If you weren't here, you got a great excuse. If you were here, you still have an excuse. It's just you didn't do it. No problem. But I do encourage you to get one on the way out. If we run out, we'll have more next week that we can give you. I do believe this is an essential part of the all-encompassing effort that God is making through the messages, through the series, through this, the process, the scriptures, to really come to the place as a church family where we're all understanding what our gift is, primary and secondary gifts, and how, if they are designed to function in a body like this, a church, what would happen if every individual member of the body were functioning in their designed gift by their designer, fully functioning? I can't imagine the impact that would have on every family in the church, on the church family itself, and then also in the community. I mean, can you? This could be one of the greatest impacts that we've ever experienced. And God's been so good to us, but I do believe, and I confess, that I have potentially, not intentionally, but potentially, operated in gifts that I wasn't truly gifted in, put potentially burned out staff members, maybe came close to burning out myself, just because I wasn't designed to do everything like you weren't designed to do everything, and that's why we all need each other. And so for the church to be fully healthy, and for pastors and deacons and elders and even volunteers to be fully healthy in the church, and we need you. We need each other. We're going to learn more about that next week as we stir up the gift that God's given us. But this week, I want to begin with a fun scenario. You ready? Everybody has a little fun? Can you smile this morning? Okay, good, good, good. I know it's been heavy a little bit, but I wept the whole way through that song. And watching that, you come to the altar, and my wife and Sarah gather around, I was just like, this is so beautiful. This is just, oh, Lord, thank you for this moment that I'm having with you right now. So, yeah, I've been shedding a few tears. I've been able to wipe them in between Josh's time and the video. So, I'm ready. I'm ready to smile again, all right? So, picture this with me. I want to give you a scenario as we look at how these gifts operate differently. So, here's the scenario. It is a family dinner. Everybody with me? Now, I'm big on family dinners. I love family dinners on Sunday. I don't preach this as a gospel thing. I'm not writing a book on how to have Sunday afternoon family gatherings. I'm not. A lot of people go to restaurants. We've never gone to restaurants on Sunday. We just enjoy the house setting, the activity. Even if it's just friends coming over, we love a Sunday meal. My wife stayed up late last night. She's got a pot roast at the house. Now, what I love about pot roast, and I told her this last night, is when I get up at night to go to the bathroom, I smell the pot roast all throughout the house. So 3 o'clock in the morning, which is usually my time. If you wake up at 3, I'm with you. And so I go potty. And as I'm going, I'm smelling the onions and the carrots and the potatoes and the roast and the gravy. And I'm like, hallelujah, for 1:30 in the afternoon. I can't wait. So, honey, thank you for that. It was awesome. And so can you imagine our family, and there'll be 25, 30 of us at the house. So everybody, we'll have some friends over, and it'll be a great time. And we're there at the house. Now, I can assure you, it's not quiet. It's crazy. It's a lot of noise, a lot of movement. Kitchen's crazy. Last night, kitchen was calm. Caroline alone. I'm sorry. I don't do very good at cooking, but I can read Pete the Cat books to Gloria Ann while she cooks, and I did. And house was quiet. Today, different in the kitchen. They're going to help you. The salad and get things ready. It's going to be hustle and bustle and get this and grab this and close the fridge and, hey, watch it. Don't drop that. It's going to be awesome. It's incredible. And then all of a sudden, we're eating. Things are going good. You can feel the energy in the house. It's sweet. I then get the dessert. Now, I know what the dessert is today. I texted my wife, who's making the dessert? She said, Micah's making the dessert. We've kind of adopted Mike and Micah into our family a long time ago before they ever met and got married. And Micah's making a strawberry pie. Woo! Hallelujah. Can I get an amen in the church house? Strawberry pie. Oh, I love strawberry pie. And I get that. I'm the dessert guy, by the way. That's my job. I cut the slice of the dessert every week. It's tradition at the house. So I get that dessert. I'm going to walk it into the living room. Oh, guys, look at this strawberry pie. And all of a sudden, I drop it. I drop the pie, and it crashes on the ground. Everybody hears the crash. They hear me go. Oh! And immediately, spiritual gifts begin to come into action. So I want you to guess out loud, as we've been learning together, someone, when I drop that pie, someone says, well, that's what happens when you're not careful. First words out of their mouth. What's that, by the way? Prophecy, right? Here's trying to correct the problem. You ever done that, by the way? I mean, if the first thing out of your mouth is, why did you do that? You next time. And we want to fix it, right? Now. Someone then, secondly, after that is said, someone says, don't worry, I'll clean it up. I got this. No problem. Who's that? Service. Right. This is someone trying to fulfill a need. See a need, take the lead. Oh, I'll take care of this. I'll get this done. Oh, don't worry, I'll clean it up. And then they got a third person steps in. And they say, the weight of distribution was off and that's why it fell. Now, let me say, now listen, I've worked on this. I know how to do this. I've been a waiter before. Eric, next time you carry, who's that? Teacher. Oh, yeah. Trying to explain and discover why it happened. Oh, listen, I've studied this thing. I know all about this. And then all of a sudden, somebody says, it's okay. Next time, we'll just serve dessert a little earlier. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Next time, in the future, it's no big deal. It's okay. Don't be discouraged. Because in the future, we'll just do it a little differently. Who's that? Come on, guys. Exhortation. Encouragement. Trying to correct the future. It's okay. Hey, next time, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. And then the next person says, hey, I'll just go buy another one. Oh, no, let me give you some. Oh, no, I got this. I got this. No, don't you worry. I'll be right back. I'll be right back. Who's that? Giving, generosity, first thing, it's natural. It comes natural for this person to say, I'll just go buy another one. First thing came to mind. Then all of a sudden somebody steps in and says, hey, listen, you grab a mop, you grab a towel, let's fix this. Go, hey. Right? Who's this? Leading. Oh, yes, trying to achieve the immediate goal. We got to get this thing fixed. It was funny, in the first service, it didn't look like this. This is so well organized. In the first service, I confused everything. I was trying to, you'll see what this is in a minute. And I was trying to figure it out. Everybody who has this gift in the church was upset with me. So guess what? They fixed it. This is different now. All the leaders came forth and literally, and I told them, I said, look, guys, I have bummed this illustration. It was a great illustration. It worked. And I hope it'll be better today because my leaders said, I'll fix this. Pastor should have called me to fix it. And you know what? That's part of this message. They're right. I operated not in my gifting, you see. My three are prophecy, encouraging, exhortation, and giving. That's my primaries and secondaries. That's where I'm gifted at. I'm not really good at all this organization, so I'm too busy trying to do other things. And so I'm grateful. We're going to have a great illustration because of somebody used their gift. Amen. And then somebody steps in and says, hey, are you okay? Don't feel bad, Eric. It's okay. Everybody drops desserts on a daily basis. It's okay. Who's that? Mercy, right? Attempting to relieve embarrassment and to comfort. Isn't that beautiful? Seven completely different responses to a same situation. Nothing changed on the situation, but seven different responses that came naturally that flowed out of someone because of the way that God gifted them. Why? Because people are wired differently by their creator. Everyone is divinely designed with a gift, wired by the creator himself, not their personality. This is how God specifically designed them to function. Yeah, and the gift God placed in them. That's why last week we gave out these spiritual gifts tests. That's why this is so important for you to find. And sometimes spiritual gifts can shift a little bit with age, with time, with maturity. That's why some, it's good often to take the test about every 3, 4, 5 years, just because things can shift just a little bit in our spiritual giftings, because we're given all the gifts. I mean, all of them are important, but we have a primary gift and a secondary gift that usually rises above, clearly rises above the others. And so if you took that test, let me ask you something. How many of you, without raising your hands, because we don't do real good at that here, so I just trust that you would have raised your hand to answer this question. I'm too afraid to be discouraged if you don't raise your hand. But how many of you are figuring out, hey, I'm kind of learning how God wired me. I'm learning how God wired me. I'll be honest, I think I'm learning that people think differently, and it's not that they're wrong, it's just they think differently than me because of how they're wired. Some people respond differently when I drop the dessert. Everybody should respond with, how are you? Why? It would just be sitting there forever. I need somebody to clean it. Amen. I need somebody to go buy another one. Hallelujah. Amen. No, not everybody responds the same. And it doesn't mean that if they don't respond the way you respond, they're wrong. Are you with me? This is why we're trying to really understand how God has wired. And what I love about this is this. God didn't just save you. He designed you. God didn't design you randomly. He gave you a gift very intentionally. God gave you a way to think. God gave you a way to respond. God gave you a way to serve. And when your gift is working the way that God intended your gift to work, you don't have to force it. You don't have to fake it. You don't burn out. You flow in it. It's just like you get to church and you're like, if you've got that gift of encouraging, you're buzzing around this auditorium. You can't wait to greet people, share people, because that's your gift. You enjoy that. You flow in your gift. This is how God designed us. It just feels natural. It's just your gift just shows up in those moments when it's needed, and it's not hard for you to do that. And here's what's exciting. Your gift is not just about you. Your gift is about what happens through you, because you, my friends, are empowered to serve by the Holy Spirit. This is not empowered by the preacher. This is not me getting up and making an announcement. Like, I love the way that Brittany made the announcement. She connected that announcement to spiritual gifts. This is not a desperate person, a lady standing up here saying, oh, please, please, we need help with the apostles. Please, would somebody please help? No. This is, anybody got the gift of service that's showing up late to church and not operating your gift and just sitting, soaking and souring? Hey, we got a spot over here for you once a month if you'd like to help us with coffee, and you've got kind of that gifting, you would look forward to that. You wouldn't dread it. You wouldn't get up and say, I cannot believe I'm going to serve at Capaccio's. Oh, I hate this. Please don't volunteer. It's okay. I get it. I mean, some people just don't like getting up and going. I get it. It's okay. You've got a gift, though, and you'll find out where. That's next week, by the way. Next week's going to blow you away. Next week, you're going to come in here. You're going to be so happy next week when things get so clear. We're getting closer. I'm leading you through this truth so we can have massive light bulbs go on next week. But for now, I just want you to know that announcement was designed for those who will freely flow into that spot. I fully expect, Brittany, you to have 3 or 4 people. It would shock me in the middle of a series like this if someone's not like, you know what, honey? I should do that. I should go over there. And you don't have to do it every week. More than likely, it's a rotational thing. And by the way, it could definitely be rotational the more people that volunteer in their gifting to help, right? That's right. That's why up at the sound booth, we have one person a month on the sound system, because there's so many gifted people that understand how to serve in the capacity of media. And we need more. We need many more cameras and live stream. And I mean, if you have that gifting, you work behind the scenes in that world, we need you. So many things here to share about what God is doing. When your gift is in the right place, people will get helped. People will be encouraged. People will grow, because you're going to be able to serve with energy. You're going to grow with clarity. You're going to impact with effectiveness. You don't just serve. You're going to thrive. You're going to thrive. I'm thriving right now. Can anybody tell? I'm having the time of my life. I got up this morning early, got to church, studied, got my thoughts together, invested money in this illustration. I didn't care. It didn't bother me. I love this. I like to see light bulbs go on. I like to help people understand the scriptures. And I love preaching and teaching and exhorting and giving. And I'm operating fully with energy in my gift. In fact, if you're saying this morning, dude, he's hyper. Exactly. I'm in my gift. People in their gift get a little hyper. They get excited. It flows naturally when we're doing what God's called us, what God's placed us to do and given us specific direction in the church. And so today is about direction. Today is about helping you step into what God has already placed inside you and using it the way that God intended it to be used. And so not just what your gift is, we're getting there. In fact, you should know by now. If you didn't take the test, you're behind on your homework. You should know what your gift is. But now, what is your gift for? That's the key. So, real quick, ready? Let's run through this. Three biblical ways that gifts are given. And when we learn this through the scriptures, when we learn the way they're given, we'll learn what they're for. Ready? Number one, gifts are given by grace. Gifts are given by grace. Now, this is so clear in scripture, and it's a multiplicity of times we're told that they're given by grace. It's very important to know that you've been given this gift, not because you've earned it, but because God's given it to you supernaturally by his grace. Let's look what the Bible says about this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, now grace was given, hey, look at this. I've really pointed this out multiple times, to each one of us. I love that because that little phrase comes up again, not just once, but several times. That little phrase, each one of us. What I love about that phrase is that no one is left out. No one. No one is left out. Everybody in this building has been given a gift. Each one of us. Not each family. Hey, every family is given a gift. No, each person, each one, each individual person. Look at this. According to the measure of Christ. The measure. You look up that word measure. It's so specific. It's like, it's this divine designer is measuring. I mean, if you will, hey, a teaspoon, a tablespoon, a little bit of vanilla. I mean, just, this is it. Okay, got this. A little bit of this. Let's do this. Ah, Austin Wilson, may I present to you your gift measured by Christ. Oh, I just got the goose pimples. No, actually, the God pimples. That's what they are. You know, goose. I don't know who. What are goose pimples anyway? I just got God pimples. You know, that raises up. It's like that's when God's just giving you a big, massive hug. Yes, I felt it. God has measured this gift. It's given to you by Christ. That's not random. Notice also what Paul says again in Romans 12, verse 4. Now, as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function. Not everybody in the church has the same function. In the same way, we who are one body in Christ, key word here, individually it says, members of one another, we're individual, but we're all part of one body, although we're all different. According, here it is again, that word, grace. Gifts are given by grace. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. Listen, if you're saved, you are gifted by grace, and everyone has a unique part in the church. Everyone. Every individual sitting under the sound of my voice is uniquely gifted by God to have a part in this church. Your spiritual gift is a grace gift. Again, you didn't earn it. You didn't qualify for it, and that's what makes it so powerful. It means you don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to. I'll prove, I'll show him, I'll show how I need to be this or that. Don't worry. You don't have to do that. You don't have to compare yourself to someone else. Oh, I just want to be better than them so they'll recognize me. I want to get noticed, and so I just want to show them that I can. No, no. You don't have to worry. It means you step into your calling with confidence. This is what we talked about yesterday in my spark huddle as we kind of ruminated over the message last week, and I had a spark huddle yesterday with my guys at 3, and we talked about this confidence that comes when you just understand, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to compare myself to someone else. I need to realize God has created me, and I need to get comfortable in my own skin. Just realize that, man, I am I'm gifted. I can serve with confidence when I'm serving the way God functioned me, the church, serving the church. Because if God gave you a gift, he intended you to use it. And so instead of producing pride, it produces gratitude. And instead of producing comparison, it produces confidence. And instead of producing insecurity, it produces security. Remember, your gift is not a trophy to display. Your gift is a tool to use. This is why we want to give God all the glory. This is why it's not about, you know, I just want more attaboys. I like attaboys. I love it. You love it. We're created to enjoy a compliment and to be encouraged in our gifting. I get that. But all the glory goes to Jesus. Amen. I'm not a trophy to be displayed today. I am a tool to be used by the Holy Spirit this morning. And this is why I want to be filled with his Spirit, to be used of him. God didn't give you a gift to elevate you. He gave it to you to equip others and to build people up. This is why you have the gift, to equip others and to build people up. Wow. This is awesome, isn't it? Number two. So first of all, gifts are given by grace. Secondly, and quickly, gifts are given to the group. Now, the group, in case you're wondering, this morning, the group is Main Campus Gospelite. Amen? Second service, by the way. Hey, we already had one, right? I've already said this to one group. And it was a good group, and they were at the 9 o'clock service on the main campus. We've got other campuses, and that's all good. But this group right here, I'm speaking to this morning, there have been gifts given to this group. And this is where it starts to get, like, really, really exciting. Because last week we discovered what your gift is, but this week we're discovering what your gift is for, because God gives gifts to people, and then he gives people to the church. God gives gifts to people, to you specifically. He gives a gift to Tony Thomas here, and then he gives Tony to Gospel Light. Tony is a gift to our church. You say, really? Doesn't look like a gift to me. Looks like just a normal guy sitting on the 10th row next to his wife. He's a gift? Yeah. He's a gift to the church. Hey, guess what? You are too. God gives gifts to people, and God gives people to the church. This is so special. This is heartwarming to me. I mean, it makes me love you even more. Prayerfully, it would make you love me more to know that I'm a gift and you're a gift and we're all a gift to the church because we've been gifted by God. You are God's gift to Gospel Light. You are God's gift to this group. And what that means is this: someone is helped because you show up. Someone is helped that would not be helped if you didn't show up. Someone grows because you step in. Someone is strengthened because you serve with your gift. I'll tell you a quick story. It's cute. I was in my office. We have somebody joining in the second service, and in this service after the service. So we do these orientation, member orientations, and it's exciting. And then they join the next Sunday usually. And so I'm in my office. Cute little quick story here. And I'm giving them the orientation and talking to them about the church. Maybe you've been in the office when I've done this with you. I enjoyed it. It's a fun time. Lasts about 45 minutes to an hour. Just sweet. And you don't have to do it to join, but I encourage you to do it. And it's really fun. So I'm sitting with this person, and I asked them, how did you decide, what was the main factor that you decided to join our church? Now, I'm going to be transparent. There's a part of me, right, that wants to hear it was the preaching. Right? Am I okay to say that? I mean, if they say it, it's kind of nice. You know, well, you're preaching. You know, I wanted to be a part of a church. You know, I didn't know what I'd hear, but I asked it. And I mean, that's a part of me that wants to. And here's what he said. You know, Pastor, we do like your teaching. It's good. But that's not why we came. And I'm like, oh, bummer. I didn't say that. They said, I mean, we enjoy it. But I'll tell you why we came back several times and then decided to join. Because my wife and I couldn't believe. And we would count. We would get back in the car and I'd say, how many? And she'd say, how many? We would have a dozen to 15 people shake our hands and actually make us feel welcome. Several of those would say that they loved us. We'd never met them before. And they would say, hey, we love you. Did you hear Josh a minute ago say, hey, love y'all? Maybe some of you thought, okay, well, interesting. Kind of different. It's special. And he says, so Pastor, really, we're here today. Again, we like your preaching, but we love how we've been accepted and welcomed here. Hey, exhorters, encouragers, thank you. Thank you for using your gift. Not everybody does this. Some people come into the church and sit down. It's okay to do that too, by the way. Is that okay? Amen? I mean, it'd be nice if you'd learn to maybe shake at least two or three hands, but isn't it hard sometimes to even shake one hand if you don't have this gift? It's like, oh, I just hate this. I want to use, you know, I want to get the, what do you call that stuff, you know? Yeah, people that are like really scared of germs are usually not encouragers. I mean, they shake a hand, then they run to the bathroom. You know, it's okay. I've seen, I get it. I get it. I'm okay. I understand. You say, is that bad? No, no. It's just how you're wired. It's okay. You're probably not first impressions, but that's okay. But if you have the gift, thanks for using it. People are actually joining our church because you use your gift. And I love that little simple illustration. It's just a cool way for me to thank you. And here's what the Bible says about these seven motivational gifts. Quickly on the screen, it says, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it. Use it according to the proportion of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, use it in teaching. If exhorting, use it in exhortation. If giving, use it with generosity. If leading, use it with diligence. If it's showing mercy, use it with cheerfulness. These are the motivational gifts God gives you to use. You are empowered by those gifts to serve in the body of Christ. Yes, we should all practice all of those gifts. All of those. We should all practice these to an extent. They're all Christian traits. They're all important. But we're going to be motivated to practice one or two, maybe three of those above the others, because it is our primary or secondary spiritual gift. It just flows out of us. You don't wake up and decide to be this. It naturally flows out of you. I mean, listen, it's how you see problems. It's how you respond to people. It's what stirs you on the inside. So let's have a little fun. And this is where this illustration comes in. What I'm going to do is grab this microphone. Josh, thank you. I'm going to grab this, and I'm going to ask across the auditorium. You got to have taken the spiritual test. Know what your primary or secondary is. You can raise your hand on a primary or a secondary. But I want to give you a gift. I'll just choose one for each gift, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do. It's going to be fun. And it's okay. If you're totally afraid you're going to faint if you come up front, I get it. Don't do it. But participate if you can. You ready? You ready to join me in this? Let's start with this one here. So if you have the gift of your primary gift, or maybe right up the top is teaching, would you raise your hand if that's your primary? All right, Mike, come on up. Mike? All right. Mike Rattel. Yeah, come on. So, Mike, I got a gift for you. I've got a gift. And I want you to open the gift, take the mic, and turn around to the church and tell us. Here it is. And just read everything but the scripture. I'll do that later. You ready? Get those? Yeah. All right, this is Mike's gift. Start at the top.
Empowered.
No, right. Right there. Yeah, right there, yeah.
I have the gift of teaching, the explainer. I am like a light. I help people understand truth clearly. I take what is complex and make it simple. I love learning and helping others grow in understanding. I equip, explain, and empower others to live out God's truth. 2 Timothy 2:15.
You can skip
says,
that. I'll read that later.
Yeah. Okay.
Just say that right there.
I keep the church thinking right. Truth.
What a gift! Can we give Mike a hand? Mike, you're a gift to this church.
You
keep us thinking right. You have so much to offer. Thank you. Keep that. Put that on your refrigerator somewhere to remind you how special you are to this church. I love you. All right, next. And I'm sorry. Yeah, you don't have to read the top of the scripture. We'll do that later, but just read that part. So who has the gift? Ready? Mercy. Ah. Okay, Hannah. Come on up, Hannah. I love Hannah. She's getting married soon. I can't wait. I'm doing the premarital counseling, and I'm doing the wedding. I'm so excited. Oh, Hannah, thank you. You have the gift of mercy. I got a gift for you. I want you to take your gift. It's actually God's gift to you. And I want you to turn around and read it to the church.
I have the gift of mercy, the carer. I am like a blanket. I see people's pain and respond with compassion. I comfort, encourage, and bring hope. I walk alongside others and show God's love in action. I bring healing, forgiveness, and restoration. I keep the church loving.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you do. I love you. You can keep that. Keep that. And you know what I know about Hannah? And she wouldn't mind me sharing this just like a brief. Hannah's been through a lot of hurt, and she's needed mercy. And oftentimes, we operate out of what we've experienced, and we can offer what we've been given. It's beautiful, Hannah. All right, who has the gift of prophecy? Who is the primary gift? Okay. Well, let me do you. Yeah, since I did Mike. Yeah, come on up. Yes. All right, I want you to tell us the gift of prophecy. All right, are you ready? And I want to forget the first name. Danette, that's right. My one of my wife's best friends, but I have the gift of forgetting. Okay. Danette's awesome. And her husband, Brent, they're newer members of this campus, and I'm so glad they're here. But Danette, go ahead. I know you.
I like a compass. I'm like a compass. I have people. I help people see what's right and what's off course. I recognize truth, expose error, and call things into alignment. I speak with clarity and conviction so people can respond. I speak with strengthening, encouragement, and consolation.
Read the bottom.
I keep the church grounded in truth.
Right. She has to get. By the way, women can have that gift. And by the way, when she was reading that, Brent, was it like, oh yeah. I saw you nodding. Yeah, that's my wife. Yes. That's a wonderful. Oh, by the way, Austin, bring that back to Danette real quick. She's right there. Yeah, I meant to have her take that. Thank you, Danette. I think it's fitting that I chose a woman for that one because mainly we associate that prophetic gift with men, but it could be a woman too. All right, let's see. Who has the gift of giving? Pastor's. All right, Jimmy, come on up here, Jimbo. I know you do too. I could have guessed that one. All right, I want to give you your gift and pull it out and tell the church why you're a gift to us from God. Start at the top. I'm right there.
I have the gift of giving, the resourcer. I am like a pipeline. I see needs and help meet them. I give generously with time, talent, and treasure. I invest in what God is doing. I give cheerfully and with a willing heart.
Last one.
I keep needs supplied.
Amen. You can keep that. I keep needs supplied. Amen. All right. And I can assure you, Jimmy does, and many of you do. It's just natural for you to give. You see something and you want to take care of it. You know, you're that person when the dessert drops that says, hey, I got this. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. What do you need? How much does it cost? That's beautiful. And it's not always money. It's time, talents, and treasure. Who has the gift of exhorting? Let me get it. Okay, come on. Yes. All right, Misty, come on. This is awesome. The gift of exhorting. I want you to turn around and share this gift to the church. I love it. You ready for your gift? We're going to find out why you're a gift to us. Okay. All right. Start at the top there.
I have the gift of exhorting, the encourager. I'm like a coach. I lift people up and call them forward. I encourage and discourage, I challenge the stagnant. I help people take their next step. I speak words that build them up, strengthen them, and inspire others to grow.
I keep
people growing.
Amen. You got to have an encourager to grow. That's right. Yeah. Nothing like someone that, you know, that needs to get on. It's like a prophetic person, kind of the corrector. But then you need somebody coming behind us after we get corrected and say, it's okay. You got this. You can do it next time. We need both. Remember I told you that illustration about two coaches? One that's, you know, always encouraging, the other that's always correcting, but don't you need both? Yes. Yes. All right, who has the gift of service? All right, let's go with Brian. Let's go with Brian real quick. Come on up, Brian. All right, I want you to read the gift to the church. You are this to the church, and I believe it because I know you. All right.
I have the gift of service, the doer. I am like a set of hands. I see what needs to be done and step in to do it. I don't wait to be asked. I find joy in helping and supporting others. I serve with humility, reliability, and a willing heart. I keep things moving.
You do, brother. Oh, man. He keeps things moving. I know this guy. He works for Champion Christian College, And I can tell you there's so many times when he texts me and says, hey, preacher, I got this done. I got this done. I got this done. I saw this need. I feel this need. I love it. What a gift to the church. What a joy it is to see someone operating in their gifting. Amazing. All right, last one. You ready? Who has the gift of leading? This always makes me laugh. Somebody got this. All right, Elijah, come on up. All the way from the back. Big E, Elijah Kemp, sitting next to mom and dad there. Come on up here, Elijah. Elijah's been in the church almost from the beginning, if not the beginning. Were you? Yes, you were born here. How old are you? 29 years at Gospel Light. So his gift is in the bag. Take your gift out and read how you're a gift to Gospel Light.
I'm like a builder.
No, start at the top. Start at the top.
Where am I reading? Oh, yeah. Sorry. I have the gift of leading, the organizer. I am like a builder. I bring direction, structure, and clarity, organize people, and move things forward. I help others work together effectively, and I make plans, solve problems, and see them through.
I keep the church.
Oh. I keep things progressing.
I keep things progressing.
Oh, sorry, preacher.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. No, it's okay. Not much of a leader today, but don't even... Now, what I know about Elijah is he's also in law. He practices law in our community. And how many times has he come in and helped us to structure things, help me and my businesses to structure things? What a great gift to have as an attorney, a Christian attorney. And what a gift to have for the church. Do you see how these gifts operate? How someone who has this as a primary or secondary gift can be such a blessing to the church? Every one of these gifts is not just something you have. It's something that God wants you to use. He wants to use it through you to build people up and to strengthen his church. That's the next note in your notes. This is the gift that God's given to you to build people, to strengthen the church. We are different, but we're designed to work together. Everyone that came forward, different, but designed to work together. Real quickly, let me give you another example here that's just a cute way of, and I'm skipping through some of this again, Ken, for sake of time, but a cute way to understand how spiritual gifts work. Here's the scenario. You ready? You'll love this. So if seven Christians representing each of these spiritual gifts, so seven different Christians with seven different spiritual gifts visited a sick person in the hospital, here's what each person might say, based on their perspective of their individual gift. All right, so person's in the hospital room. Here comes the person with prophecy. They walk in and they say, what is God trying to say to you through this illness? Is there some sin you haven't confessed yet? Now, you may think that's insensitive, but did you know that sometimes we need to hear, hey, what is God teaching you? I mean, what sin do you need to confess? It's a little harsh, I get it. But I'm trying to illustrate, and sometimes we exaggerate to illustrate, right? But we need that. Hey, then here comes, that person leaves. Here walks in service. Here's a little gift I brought for you. Oh, and I want you to know, I fed your dog, I watered your plants, and I washed your dishes. It's all taken care of. And I locked the door when I left. It's all taken care of. They walk out, and here's the next person that walks in. Teaching. Hey, I did some research on your illness, and I believe that can explain what's happening. I've been working on this for a long time. Do I ask you what you had? I've been working on this. They walk out, the next person walks in. The exhorter. How can we use what you're learning here to help others? I know this is difficult, but God's given this to you for a purpose, and I know that God's going to help you to help others, right, honey? I mean, how incredible has it been that you've been able to use what you've been through and others that what they've been through? Isn't that beautiful? And then the exhorter walks out, and in walks the giver. Do you have insurance to cover this type of illness? Hey, by the way, if you don't, that's okay. We're going to take up an offer. We're going to find out how. We're going to help you. We got to get this thing done. It's okay. Don't you worry. They're beautiful. And then the giver walks out, and in walks leading. Don't worry about a thing. I've assigned your job to four others in the office. It's all worked out. Don't worry. I mean, you're so good at what you do that it took four people to get it done, but it's all taken care of. You take your time getting better. It's organized. How many of you like this person? Amen. Thank God. And then in walks Mercy. I can't begin to tell you how I felt when I learned you were sick. How do you feel? You okay? We're praying for you. Isn't it beautiful? See, these These are just illustrations to help us to understand that all of us are different, but all of us are functioning to make the church a better place for all of us to become more like Jesus. This is the goal of the gifting. Because in our church, the one who sees, we need the one who sees the problem, the one who fixes the problem. We need the one who explains the problem. We need the one who encourages us to get through the problem. We need the one who resources to help us pay for the situation. We need someone who leads us through and someone who cares enough to just speak mercy into our lives. We need every single one, not one more than the other and not one better than the other. All of them uniquely designed in the church family. Incredible. If everyone did the same thing, the job wouldn't get done. Can you imagine if everybody just showed mercy? We wouldn't get anything done. If everybody just encouraged and nobody told the truth, I mean, we need to hear the truth. Amen. Sometimes the truth can be a little harsh, but we need that person. Amen. I love it. Number three, and I'm done. Gifts are given by grace. Gifts are given for the group. And finally, gifts are given for growth. They're given for growth. I can get through this quickly. I did in the first service. And I realized, man, every time I prepare this, I realize I've got way too much. But I hope I'm giving you enough for next week is going to be very, very important. But I hope you've got enough to really understand why it's important for you to know your gift. Not just what it is, but what it's for. It's given for growth. Let me bring this home with some scripture. You ready for some Bible? Here it is. The Bible says, now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 12 of that chapter, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Don't miss this. To build up the body of Christ. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow. Let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, from him the whole body fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament promotes the growth of the body for the building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. Don't miss those words. Look at them in the text. To build up, to grow, growth, building. Those words matter. The church grows not just financially, not just numerically, not just spiritually. The church grows in every way when you and I are using the gifts in the body of Christ that God designed for us to have. That's how the church grows. The church matures. The church grows. It builds because of the people in it that God has placed in it. This gift is not given just to express who you are, but to impact who others are becoming. To make a difference. It's not just to be able to say, oh, I've got a gift. That's cool. No, it's to use the gift to help somebody else. To build somebody else up. You see, this morning is not entertainment. The purpose of this message is that you might walk out of this building transformed by the gospel and the power of the scriptures. In and of myself, I can only entertain. Yes, I can make you laugh. I can entertain. I can come up with, you know, interesting stories. That's not going to change your life. But the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in you, connected to the scripture, given by someone who has been called to operate in a spiritual gift under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit, that can make a difference. That can grow the body of Christ. So instead of thinking, how do I use my gift? Shift your thinking to this, how can I use my gift to help someone else get stronger? How can I use my gift to help someone else get stronger? When your gift is working properly, people are going to be encouraged. I promise you that. People are going to get helped. When you use your gift properly, people are going to grow. People will take their next step. Think about it like this. Every time you use your gift, something should be built in someone else. Truth should get clearer. Faith should get stronger. Burdens should get lighter. Direction should get sharper when you use your gift. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up at this time. And as we close, it's going to be a little different than normal. But as we close, I want you to know this. Your gift can change the environment of this church. Your gift can change people in this congregation. It can change people. Your gift in you. And the ultimate goal is to use your gift so that others would become more like Jesus. That's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal of a pastor is that his people would become more like Jesus. And that just can't happen through prophecy and through preaching. It must happen when all of us are using our gifts in the body. We all help others become more like Christ. Ephesians 4:13 says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Growing into maturity until we all become like Christ. You know what? Jesus had all of these gifts on a scale of 1 to 10 as a 10. He was the fullness of every one of these gifts. I'm not, but I want to be. Amen? I want to be more like Christ. And sometimes to be more like Christ, I need you to pour into me. I need your gift to influence my life. I need your gift to impact my life so that I can learn more about some of the things that I need to learn more about. I struggle in some of these areas, but when I see them in you, I'm so encouraged to become more like Christ. Have you ever thought that of someone else? Just watch them operating in their gift and thought, man, I want to learn to do that. I want to be more like Christ because I can see Christ in that person's life. That's the goal. You see, gifts are not measured by activity. They're measured by transformation. This is not just about getting busy in the church and start doing things. This is about becoming more like Christ. He's the one that gave you the gift. He is the full measure of each one of these gifts. So in closing, I want to say this. We need you. Something is missing when you're not here. Something is missing when you're not engaged. Something is missing when you're not involved. Something's missing. And I don't exactly know where all those spots are in the church or in the body, or I don't know. But I know next week we're going to have the opportunity to find out what specific area. I've got so many opportunities to share with you specifically for each individual gift. I can't wait for you to pray over this list and say, now I've got something to sink my teeth in. Now I've got something specific to say. I wonder what it could be. And by the way, Joe, thanks for singing that song. Because you know what the danger is? Some of us are going to think that when God gives us a specific job, we're going to have the tendency to think that's not important. What difference does it make? I mean, that anybody could do that. Don't miss it. The Bible says that when you give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, it does not go unnoticed by the Father. Everything we do for the kingdom is recognized by God the Father, and that's all that matters. Amen. There are no little responsibilities in the kingdom of God. Everything's important. How many of you are glad the bathrooms were clean when you walked in this morning? Amen. Wasn't it nice? Now, if you walk in now, I can't make any promises. But I walked in the first thing this morning. I get here early. I went to the restroom and I thought, man, it smells great. Thank you. I don't know who cleaned these bathrooms, but I'm so thankful somebody used their gift of service. Can I get an amen? See, sometimes we look at the gift of cleaning a restroom as what? That's so silly and small and ridiculous. I mean, I want to be up here. Do you know if we all stood on the platform right now, we would have nobody in the audience and we wouldn't have any room on the platform? That's not the purpose of this. It's that we all would use our gifts where God has placed us in the body. When you're in the right place doing what God wired you to do, it doesn't drain you. It develops you. You are not just part of the church. You are a part of how the church grows. And so, here's what I want to do for the invitation. A little different. It worked out. Man, the first service was amazing. And I want to thank you in advance for participating. But I'm going to ask Josh if you would just remove the bags, if you would. And we'll take those off. And when you move it, turn it over. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Yeah, you're the man. Thank you. If you know your primary gift or even a secondary gift, you're welcome to take more than one. I've got three this morning. Let me grab. I've got my primary, which oddly enough, this time when I took it, I'm 61 years old. When I took this at 55, it was prophecy. When I took it at 61, it was giving. So I'm giving first, and then these two are tied, exhorting and prophecy, one below giving. So just, it's kind of cool. So these are my gifts, I want to remind myself on a regular basis of how I'm a gift to you, how God gifted me to be a gift to this church. If you know what that gift is, in the invitation, I want to invite everybody from the balcony, from the main floor, to come and find your gift and take one or two. Again, take your primary, take your secondary. They're up here. That's the invitation. If you don't know what it is yet, you can find out next week and I'll bring them back and they'll be here for you next week. But if you know what the gift is, I invested in this personally because I really felt like this would be such a help to all of us, make it more real. I don't want to leave any stone unturned in this series. I just don't. I don't know when I'll ever preach this again. I don't. I know that God has called me to preach this series 6 weeks for such a time as this. Maybe it's because he's going to be returning soon and this is going to be our final harvest to be a church fully operating, fully functioning in our spiritual gifts. I'm not sure what it is that God's doing, but I just feel compelled to put my all into this series for the sake of the body of Christ operating and functioning fully in its gifting. So the invitation will be that. Come on up, get your gift, and you can go back to your seats and worship with us. So let me pray, and then we'll worship and receive our gift. Father, I love you. I thank you for this opportunity to present this message. It's been so fun for me to just really dive into this, and thank you for giving me the creative ideas. Thank you for Ken Reed, Lord, our creativity guy that's helping me to put this together and figure it all out. And Lord, I'm just so grateful for everybody right now while I'm serving, they're serving. Nursery, coffee shop, I mean, media, live stream, cameras, worship team, instruments. Lord, people behind the scenes, I'm just so grateful. This would not be possible were it not be for those right now using their gift. So Lord, may we all today discover our gift, not just what it is, but what it's for. Thank you for the gift you've given us. We love you. And we thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Come receive your gift and let's worship together.